Hello and welcome to the Aim of the Game podcast, a video game podcast here at Vox Radio and DKIT, where we discuss video games, gaming news, announcements, developments, drama, our thoughts on games, and anything relating to video games. My name is Ryan Kennedy, and joining me today is my fellow host, Dara Rogers.
Hello there.
Hello, Dara. So we have a few things on the agenda today.
Oh, certainly.
Right, first up, Dara, you're going to like this one. God of War Ragnarok. I heard you have a bit to talk about today.
I'm so excited.
All right, well, Dara, take the floor, or the mic, I suppose.
So, God of War Ragnarok came out, one of the biggest games of the year. I was definitely very excited for it after playing the first God of War. Well, the fourth, fifth, seventh God of War.
We've lost count.
There's too many of them. And I got to say, the game exceeds the first game. The first game is great, but this one exceeds the game in every single aspect. That's very impressive. It's a hard thing to do with such like a massive game, it's like what I call the Terminator effect. Like Terminator 1 is really good, but Terminator 2 is even better.
Like, does this God of War have Arnold Schwarzenegger in it?
It does not. It does have big muscly man and big fat man.
You do, Dara.
Everything in this game is just—it's a challenging thing to exceed. But it does it in every aspect, from like the combat to the story, the characters, the gameplay. People have made complaints about the gameplay being, the combat's not so good, or you have to be in a boat all the time. But the combat is. I even found this in the first game. It has a huge variety to it. Of course, it's going to get repetitive if you keep spamming spamming one attack. But it gives you multiple combos to perform, different weapons, different they call it rune attacks. It's like magic.
Casual.
It's really phenomenal. I'm really happy. I mentioned this before. I got a book about Norse mythology before in preparation for the game. I am so happy I read that, because there are characters who pop up in the story and I'm like, oh my god, I read about that character. It's so cool to see them. It's so good. I can name a few, but that would probably be, don't want to go into spoilers. But one thing I was interested about is with open world games, like, it's difficult to do a sequel to them, because like how do you like reuse the same worlds or world and just,
yeah, that's the problem Breath of the Wild's gonna face now, though.
Yeah, but God of War does it right. It actually, well, what God of War does, the first God of War 2018 was very much a semi-open world game. You basically explored one huge realm and then you would travel around different more secured realms. But this one, the main realm you explored, which is Midgard, is a lot more of just a sub-realm, a mini semi-realm. I guess the main one would be, in this case, they're all, the exploration is a little more restricted. Like, there's no huge open area to explore. There's definitely places to go to for side quests. The side quests are fantastic. They're very engaging. But it's not a huge open area like the 2018 game. But that's not a bad thing at all, because there are so many new areas to explore. There's new realms like Svartalheim, which is like the land of the dwarves. Niflheim. Well, no, that one's a story, very much a story based one. There's Alfheim again, which is like the elf realm. There's Asgard.
Of course, you have to have Asgard.
Of course, you gotta have Asgard. Which that one's phenomenal. That realm, what happens there? That's more. That really only happens. You can't really explore it, but you can look around. It's something secured inside of the story. Like, I don't know if you can do side quests there. I haven't finished the game, but I'll be sure to. Not yet. I'll be sure to do it. And all of the new characters that I can say, like Thor and Odin, they are amazing. They've exceeded my expectations. Before the game came out, the first boss fight with Thor, the God of Thunder, leaked. And I swear, I I thought it was like a boss in the middle of the game. He's actually like the second boss. It's actually crazy how insane the fight is. It's so good. It's a challenging game too. I'm playing the game on like the second hardest difficulty, and it kicks your behind. By
nice one.
It kicks you. It's difficult. The enemies are just the most difficult part of the difficulty setting. I never found any trouble fighting Thor or any of the other major bosses, but yeah, I'm really glad it does not sugarcoat it. This ain't no easy grab. But yeah, I'm very happy with the game. I can't wait to finish it. I have some things to do, you know, like study work and assignments. But there was a time where I went through that game while playing it for like a week, and I just desperately needed to get back to it. It's like, I need more of this. This is so good.
You have an addiction, mate.
I have an addiction.
At least it's a good one, to be fair.
Yeah. I might discuss it again for more of the story-focused spoiler stuff in a future podcast.
We'll just have this as a segment every time. You just talk about God of War for like, how long have we been talking? 6 minutes? Just talk about God of War for 6 minutes every episode. This would be great.
I tell you what, you know what it does have? It has Hozier, the game, apparently. Hozier performs a song in the game.
Right.
You know Hozier?
I've heard the name before.
He's the guy who made the Take Me to Church song.
Oh my god.
Yes. He's in the game, which honestly shocked me.
How much did it cost to sign that guy? Oh my god.
Probably not a lot. Like, no hate to the guy. But
as if he's listening to this.
As if he's listening.
Imagine. Oh, we'd have hit the big leagues if he's listening to this.
It doesn't have Arnold Schwarzenegger, but it has Hozier. The game's great. I recommend everyone play it and, you know, have fun. What's next on the agenda?
Right, so you heard him, folks. Dara approves of God of War Ragnarok. You heard of her first. So if you aren't playing it, start playing it now.
It would be my game of the year, but that'll go to Xenoblade. God of War is Xenoblade 3. I mean, God of War is better in every aspect, like graphics, gameplay, I suppose. But I love Xenoblade. That game has more. It's more special to me.
Yeah, it has a special place in Dara's heart. Everyone.
Yeah.
So if you ever get him, if you ever want to get him a Christmas present, just get him some Xenoblade merch. He'll be as happy as Larry.
Oh please, you know Xenoblade, right?
Oh, do I?
Oh, good. At least he knows what I'm talking about. I've tried to get the collector's edition. We're going off the agenda, by the way.
Oh no, this is fine. The more time, the better.
I got the definitive edition, collector edition of like Xenoblade 1. I made sure like I had to get this. This is, you know, and I got it. It's amazing. It comes with a vinyl, comes with a steel book, the art book, which was the main reason I got it. Vinyl's great, but I love just art books are just great to me. Getting the collector's edition of Xenoblade 3 is like climbing a mountain in space.
What?
Without shoes on. It is so difficult. It sells out instantly. Right. Like, there have been a few times where it is actually unbelievable. And like, coming from the Xenoblade fan, because for a long time we were obscure. We weren't like the most popular franchise. That's changed recently with Xenoblade 3, with how much more attention it's getting, and I've just like I've kept my eye on the Nintendo website, and I got an email from Nintendo like a few weeks ago saying, oh, the collector's edition is available. Then I go into the link, and the site was just, it wasn't even working. So many people went to the website to pre-order it, and it just crashed pretty much. So I couldn't, and this email was sent out during like the workday, so I couldn't even get it. And so yeah, that's what I want for the most of Christmas. If you somehow break into like, okay, I'm not endorsing. If you could generously break into like a warehouse, get and just get that to me, I'd appreciate that very much. But yeah.
Okay then, right.
Of course, I don't want to condone any actions like that. That's wrong, but you know, any if you can do it, if, please get me, please.
You're getting desperate. Yeah.
I'm getting so desperate.
All right, back, we can talk about that later. Back to the agenda.
Yeah, let's move on.
Right, so let's see. Up next on the agenda, my favorite part of the agenda, Pokemon once again. Now, I got the games. I started with Violet, and I know last time I said I was going to pick the duck, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yes, right.
Yeah, you shouldn't have trusted me on that one. I immediately turned traitor on the duck. When I saw what that thing became, oh my god.
Oh no.
Have you seen that abomination?
It looks wonderful.
What do you mean it looks wonderful?
It's like a beautiful flamingo. Or a peacock.
You don't even know what it is.
I don't.
I sure as hell don't know what it is. So, instead of the duck, I would have taken the duck if it stayed looking like Donald Duck, but no, it turned into that thing. So when I decided, nah, I'm going the fire crocodile because I'm, God knows I'm not taking the cat. God forbid I take the cat. So I went the fire crocodile, and luckily for me, that thing turns into a fire ghost type. Ghost types are my favorite Pokemon.
That's a ghost type?
Yeah, fire ghost type.
I wouldn't have known that from looking at it.
Yeah, the duck's a fire fighting, water fighting type, sorry. The fire one's a ghost, fire ghost type. And then the grass one, I think, is grass dark type.
That's interesting. I've never seen. Usually the fighting types are for fire types.
Yeah, they've diversified. Yeah, grass dark, fire ghost, water fighting. Interesting combination. Although the trifecta doesn't really work because dark beats ghost, fighting beats dark. What's ghost meant to do to fighting? They're immune.
What's that?
Ghost is it, fighting's immune to ghost type. So dark beats ghost because of the type advantage. Fighting beats dark type advantage. But ghost can't beat fighting because they're immune to each other. So they've screwed that one up.
Okay.
Don't know how they've done that. So yeah, chose Fire Guy. Skeledirge is his actual name. God knows I'm not sticking with that.
Skeledirge.
I named him Volcan because it's Spanish for, I think, lizard or fire. Or one of them. I don't know. I just found a Spanish word that sounded cool, if I'm honest.
Sounded like volcano.
Probably.
Which is appropriate.
Yeah, very appropriate. So after learning he'd be a ghost type, I decided, you know what, hell to it. I'm doing a full ghost run again. This is just a thing I've been doing since, like, Sword and Shield. Just ghost runs all the time, full ghost type team. Easier than you would think.
Really?
Yeah, like, consider it. Well, the ghost types are good anyway, but, like, defensively, they're horrible. So, surprisingly, this one went really well. So, we had Skeledirge, the man himself, so as fire ghost type. So, yeah. I decided to then get Sableye, ghost dark type, purely as a sacrifice. You know, if ever I need to revive another Pokemon that's gone down, just, oh, send Sableye in, he'll die for it. He's Jesus. He dies for their sins. That's what he does.
Oh, yeah.
That's Sableye's job. Then I had a Haunter. Would have been a Gengar if I could have evolved it, but, you know,
got
have to trade for that. That don't know people, so stuck with a Haunter. Just slap Nevelite on it, double its defenses. There you go, problem solved. Then there was the new Primeape evolution. They gave Primeape an evolution. It's really cool.
I think I've seen that before.
Annihilate, that name, I just love the name. Like, that's great.
That's brilliant.
And lore-wise, it is ridiculous how that thing works. Because, like, in the lore of Pokemon, I know I sound like a nerd, get over it. In the lore of Pokemon, Primeape can get so angry that it dies. So angry it just dies. Just straight up dead. Just gone. Deceased. So, the way the evolution works is you have to use a new move called Rage Fist 20 times. So effectively, to evolve this Pokemon, you're making it so angry it dies and comes back as a vengeful spirit. Like, that is just cool.
It doesn't faint.
It does faint, technically, but, like, it just evolves into being dead. It's an odd one, like.
That is amazing, honestly.
Oh, mate, it's so good. Like, it destroys everything because it's a fighting ghost type. How do you do anything to that?
Well, that is a deadly combination.
Well, fairy type, I guess, but who the hell likes fairy types? Then, let's see. We up to him.
Oh, I'm looking at it right. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it looks sick. Look at that.
That is amazing.
Yeah, then we had Bramblegast. It's literally a tumbleweed. Literally just a ghost. Like, ghost possessed a tumbleweed, Bramblegast, everyone. the pinnacle of evolution at its finest. Like, oh my god, it's great. Like, let's see, like, Look, get that up there. Look at that. Tell me that's not the peak.
I googled Bramblewood Pokemon. I found this.
What the hell is that? No.
It's like some Magic the Gathering code.
I think you did, but not here.
Bramblewood Paragon.
Here, I'll get you this. Let's see. Let's see, we have Bramblegast. Look at that thing. It's just a possessed tumbleweed.
Wow.
It's just a possessed tumbleweed. That stuff's
Oh, it's got a face.
It's got a little face. It looks hilarious.
It's brilliant. It's
great. And then to round that off, because, you know, I need a strong ghost type to balance out the tumbleweed and Jesus, I got just a Dragapult because I know that thing's good from playing with it in Sword and Shield.
Dragapult.
Yeah. The whole thing with that one is it launches its children out of its head as projectiles.
Oh, what? Oh, I see.
Yeah, that thing. Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like a ghost.
Yeah. Ghost Dragon type's a great type combo. So I went through the entire game just with full ghost team. Easier than you would think, because the first year are cakewalk anyway. There's branching campaigns now.
Branching?
Yeah, you have the gym challenge as usual, but then you had like another thing with there's three rivals and one for each story. You have Nimona, the one everyone knows, for the gym challenge. She just has a thing for battling people. She's a bit of a problem, actually.
Yeah, the one that said everyone's... She's basically Goku.
Yeah, but yeah, that one. And then for another one, it's like you have to fight Titan Pokemon. You're basically in Shadow of the Colossus with that one.
Oh.
Yeah. You go with a fella named Arvin. Chill dude.
Is he the one with the long hair?
Yeah, that guy, yeah.
Oh, yes.
He just hands you your legendary at the start of the game. Just like, all right, thanks, man.
Oh, yeah, the one that's like... The vehicles, right?
Yeah. You know, that's so funny to me. What, just go, Pokemon bike. Oh, there we go, problem solved. So yeah, you fight Titan Pokemon with him. The more you fight with him, the better your bike Pokemon becomes.
Does it become faster? Oh, that.
After each one you defeat, you get a new like upgrade to him. So the first one he can like sprint in parentheses. The second one he can like high jump. The third one it can go across water. I think the fifth one is fly. I've probably skipped a step there, but you get the gist. Just more modes of transportation.
Yeah, it can mow the grass.
Yeah, man, it's sick. And then the third storyline, it's with this girl named Penny. Yeah, I nearly forgot her name. I'm gonna be honest, I had to check
before the blue and the
studio. Yeah, that one. Okay. I had to check her name because I forgot what it was. But the whole thing with that is. You're tasked to defeat, because you're in a school in this game, yeah? It's like an anime arc. You're challenged, well, asked, really, to defeat the team of bullies that go around the school harassing people.
Is it even an ask? You can't say no, right?
No, you can't say no, yeah. You're contractually obligated. And by contractually obligated, I mean some guy just kind of rings you up, just like, I've hacked your phone, now you have to do this thing. And I'm like, okay, great. And then there's some fella named Clive that just goes around the place with you. No clue who he is. Just kind of shows up for this storyline. Just kind of rocks up. It's just like, oh yeah, I'm here to help you. Does he help you at all? No. So thanks, Clive. Yeah, very useful character, him. And then Penny, she just kind of shows up. There's no real lore importance to her. No real lore importance.
Right.
Yeah. Don't know why she's there, to be honest. So then you do all them three. Then you complete the game, so to speak. You become champion, help defeat the Colossus, and destroy bullying. You get the post-game stuff, which I would say, but I think it's too cool to say, because like, if you haven't gotten there yet, just wait, it's worth it. Like, it's actually just worth it. Because like, you get the center of the map, it's closed off for the post-game, yeah?
Yeah.
Is sick. Like, that is just cool. It's just like a big hole in the ground with a bunch of stuff, and then when you're in there, it's just some lore stuff happens. It's really cool.
I see.
Yeah. So, interesting game. Overall, I'd say it's really good. Like, lore-wise, you mean it's a Pokemon game. What do you expect? It's all right, to say the least. The Pokemon, some people say it's lazy. I mean, they did literally make a Pokemon that's a flamingo. But, you know, other than that and a few other examples, really good. I mean, the tumbleweed. I like the tumbleweed.
I didn't see anything about that online.
Well, some people are complaining about it. I say some, yeah. It's largely people who are saying Gen 1 Pokemon are of great design, which, as you know, a purple rat is the peak of design in their opinion. So, don't really care for what they say. Yeah, so Pokemon are good. The music, Overworld music, because it's a free roam game now. They've done that. They've turned Pokemon free roam, and it's worked really well.
Oh, good.
Oh, that's reminding me what it was. The fourth one was that you could climb up walls. That's what it was.
Oh, yeah.
You could just climb vertically up a wall. It was really interesting. So, yeah, story-wise, music-wise, Pokemon-wise, really good game. Stability-wise, I know you're going to ask me about that. Go on, yes. Ask me the question.
There has been some buzz online about the game's stability, and a lot of bugs have been reported in the game. Have you experienced anything like that?
Well, you see, I'm playing on the original Switch, yeah, like when it came out first. I haven't upgraded since. I haven't seen any problems, but that's probably because my hardware is what it was designed for. Like, if they built these Pokemon games for, like, the new, like, Switch Lite or the Switch Pro, whatever the hell they're calling it, I'm sure it would run great on them devices. But I think because they've done it for just bog-standard original Switch from, like, what was it, 2017 it came out? 2018?
Yeah.
Like, because they've done it for them, because of the improvements in technology, I don't think it knows what to do at some points, because I've seen clips, it's hilariously. Two people, like, on their Pokemon's backs, yeah, they're meant to be riding them, yeah, just, like, having a conversation. But instead of, like, being on it, sat down like I am now and you are now, having a nice friendly chat, they're just vertically facing up, like they're in a rocket about to take off. Like, I don't know what that one's about. Frames, I've seen, it can drop quite a bit. I haven't had that problem. I haven't had any problems, actually. I've had a great experience.
Good.
Yeah. So I don't know, I know what they're complaining about, I've seen it, but I don't know what could be causing it other than hardware problems with technology and improvements and that type of stuff.
My favorite glitch I saw was the, it's sort of like a glitch about riding the Pokemon, where the Pokemon just disappears and you're just riding the air, like,
you're
like
just hovering on the air, like
full on Crazy Frog.
Oh, I had that one. That's the good one I had, but, like, I was not disappointed with that one, that was great. Because you were just climbing up a wall vertically, just nothing, just there, it was great. It was hilarious to watch.
This is a crazy thing. Like, I've never seen this from, like, a Pokemon game where it's like, where it just struggles to run itself. And Sword and Shield didn't have those problems.
Sword and Shield, like, graphic issues. That was their problem.
Yeah.
There's graphic issues. Now we've had stability issues. I'm looking forward to the next one, because next one it probably just won't load. It'll just crash. That'll be that problem.
People say that the world's not detailed enough, which, sure, it's a bit simplistic, but I don't know if Pokemon is ready for, like, realistic-looking grasses. I think, like, Sonic Frontier still looks a little interesting with its realistic grass.
Like, lads, if you're complaining about the graphics of Pokemon, yeah? Remember where we were in, like, 2015? We were still in pixels. It's been how many years? Like, 8 years? 8 years.
Seven? 8 years?
8 years since 2015. Like, 3D...
No, 7 years.
Yeah, 3D is new enough, yeah?
Yeah,
it's, well, I'm saying 8 because we're almost in 2023 now.
Oh, yeah.
It's still new enough. And, like, Nintendo, how in God's name do you think they're going to get, like, game quality like God of War on a Nintendo Switch? Now, how are they going to get that good graphics onto that small piece of hardware?
Now, have you seen, like, The Witcher on Switch?
Oh my God.
Yeah. I mean, it's impressive that it can even run it at all, but it is very low settings.
Yeah, just think about where we were when Sword and Shield came out. Yeah, you were complaining about what trees look like. Now what are they complaining about? Blades of grass?
Blades of grass.
Is that where we're at now? How have we gone backwards? I would have thought, like, grass would have been the thing people would have been like, oh yes, it's gone, I won't have to run into a Wurmple every 2 minutes.
I mean, from what I saw from the I saw it was just like they took a picture from the world from a distance, which I think is a little unfair because, I mean, of course it's going to render and...
Yeah, the Switch render distance is like 2 feet.
Yeah.
Like, if I were on that side of the room there and you were over there and we're on a Switch game, I wouldn't be able to see you.
Yeah.
This room is like, how many? Like 20 feet in length? If I lie down,
yeah, sounds good,
like 3-4 times, we're at the end of the room, I'm 6 foot, like, I'm going to say 6'3", but probably closer to 6'2". Like, if I were to lie down on the ground, like, 3-4 times, we'd be at the length of this room. So that you aren't expecting much from Switch render distance here. Like, there's not much to expect. So, like, complaining about render distance, like, how far a distance are we talking? Like, top of the map to the bottom of the map? Like, full plane? What are we talking?
I mean, like, seeing it from, like, a cliff.
From just a cliff looking out?
Yeah, that's...
What do you expect? Like, what? You want me to see some fella in his house making pasta?
I think they're expecting, because I seen a tweet saying, oh, they pull up the Xenoblade comparison. Like, oh, it has these fully detailed rocky areas. And as a fan, I will say it's a bit unfair because, I don't know, they're two entirely different companies. I mean...
Yeah, who made Xenoblade?
Monolith Soft.
And what are they known for?
Xenogears. They've worked on other... games like Breath of the Wild, Splatoon 3, and sure they had much more time to work on the Xenoblade games.
Yeah, what are Game Freak known for? Pokemon, and only Pokemon. Does anyone know any other Game Freak titles? No.
No.
I say that as a no. You say no. Our studio audience says no, mainly because there's no one else in this room.
Well, if I said Xenogears, Xenosaga, these. Big long games like Monolith Soft is not tied to like a release date,
yeah,
at all. Game Freak are, so their hours are crunched.
Yeah, they're churning out a Pokemon game like main series every 2-3 years.
Yeah,
like Sword and Shield came out 3 years ago.
That's
like 2-3 years ago. Like that is not enough time to make the marginal improvements people are asking for.
Yeah, that's still so weird that Sword and Shield was only like 3 years ago. Yeah. I still feel like we're not over. The last generation, I feel it should have been like 5 or 6 years.
Nah, they always do this. Make it redundant as soon as possible so you can get the new one out. At least they did Legends Arceus between these two.
Yeah.
If we didn't have that, it would have felt longer. But it's the fact that we had that, we were like, all right, we have something to last on for quite a bit. That was a good game, actually.
That was well, very well received.
Do a review on that at some point. Well, yeah, just come back to me. I'll do Pokemon review. That's my segment. You've got a War segment. I have Pokemon segment. Oh, this is great. Put that on the schedule for next time. All right, so Pokemon, great game.
We still got, what's your favorite gym leader?
Favorite gym leader? Probably the normal type gym leader, if I'm honest. Have you seen him?
Oh, Larry, yeah, he looks...
Man is depressed.
I haven't seen it. I haven't played the game. I want to now, seeing all those glitches. That sounds fun.
Yeah, man. I'll get you a photo of this guy.
Oh, I've seen him. He looks... I just love him. The fact that he's a normal type as well, which I've not seen, I'm not aware of. Maybe I forgot. But it's...
Look at that man.
He's amazing. He's just a tired, I hate my job sort of. He's like Reverend Lovejoy in The Simpsons.
That's what I'm going to be like after I'm done my course, I imagine.
Yeah. That is such a great design. I love it.
Yeah, that's great. Well, who's yours?
My
favorite gym leader.
Oh, him as well.
Him as well.
From the game, yeah.
Oh, yeah, fair enough. So let's see. Favorite new Pokemon? Do you have any? Have you seen many?
It's the ghost dog one.
Oh, Grievous.
Yeah, the one that looks like the Dulux dog.
Yeah.
I'll say that one at least.
Yeah, it's a good one. This is probably gonna be basic as all hell. But you seen the new Wooper?
The new Wooper.
It's a ground poison type. It looks hilarious.
Is he the one that's like blue and has like those?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, now he's not blue anymore. He was blue, but then he dabba-dee-dabba-died and became brown.
Oh, I see.
He fell into a pit of mud and then just kind of got stuck with it. Yeah, like, look at that and tell me that isn't peak design right there.
He looks more like a mud-type swamp Pokemon than Wooper did.
Yeah, it's a ground poison type now.
Cool.
Yeah, it's a good type combination. Yeah, so overall, Pokemon Scarlet Violet, good game. Would recommend. But again, if you're going to complain about it, remember where we were in 2013.
You think they'll make DLC for it like they did with Sword and Shield?
Oh, they will, yeah. There's a bit of the map, top right corner, grayed out. You can't go up it.
Oh.
Yeah, so I wonder what's happening there. All right, so Pokemon, great game. God of War, great game. What's next in the segment?
I believe we're discussing the Super Mario Bros. Movie trailer.
Oh, yes. Love that. Although I will say... I preferred the French version of the trailer. Sounds much better.
There's still much discussion on the trailer looked great so far. It looks very nice. We'll discuss the issues, but let's just talk about Chris Pratt. as Mario.
What is there to talk about, Chris Pratt?
Well, after hearing enough of it, a lot of it now, I can say for sure that I'm not a fan of the voice.
Well, obviously they put an American bloke as the voice of an Italian fella.
Well, the original guy, Charles Martinet, was a Italian bloke, American guy.
Yeah, I know, but like, he was trying to do an Italian voice, like an Italian impression. Chris Pratt's just kind of going like I imagine Chris Pratt just in the sound booth, like we are now, just going, all right, sorry, I need to pretend to be Italian. All right. Mamma mia, we need the pizza, like that type of stuff. Like that's why I imagine he's doing the hand gestures and all, like he's doing the full shebang. Well, like that old that fella before, he's just there, he's like in the zone. He knows what he's doing. Chris Pratt's just there, he wants a paycheck.
Yeah. I feel like when he's basically just doing the Chris Pratt thing like he's done in many films that he's voice acting, like Onward or Lego Movie.
He was in the Lego Movie?
Yeah, he's the main character. He's Emmett.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, it's the first time I've seen a film with him in
it. How have I not heard that one before? I didn't know that, like, actually.
That was the first time I heard of him.
Like, legit, I didn't know that. I only knew him as, like, Star-Lord. That's the only thing I knew him for.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know. I don't watch films. Like, here, like, 2 days ago, we were meeting some of my mates, were talking about films, and one of them just goes, oh, have you ever watched Fight Club? I go, no, yeah. She forces me to watch Fight Club.
That sounds good. Great.
Yeah, it was a great film. But, like, yeah, I don't watch films. I just don't. But ask me to name one other film he's in. Can't do it. Just put him in my radar.
I'm looking up that he's done... Oh, yeah, he's doing Garfield. I forgot.
What?
A Garfield movie.
What, the voice of Garfield? Or is he, like...
Yes, he is going to be Garfield.
Oh, like, if he was... I'd believe it if he was John. Because he already sounds depressed.
No, he just sounds... A little basic.
A little.
But other than that, everyone else is pretty good.
Who's the Jack Black's Bowser, isn't he?
Jack Black is Bowser. He's
I can get behind that.
He's phenomenal.
That's great.
He's not just, you know, playing Jack Black. Anya Taylor-Joy does a good rendition of Princess Peach. Yeah, it's pretty good. Nothing to complain about.
Who's Toad again?
Keegan-Michael Key. He's got some voice acting experience. Yeah. Apparently, Anya Taylor-Joy said playing Peach made her a gamer. That's the word she used.
What, is that a direct quote?
Yeah, I think so.
Heard it here first. I mean, it wasn't here first. It definitely wasn't here first. You heard it relatively newly here.
You heard it indirectly from us.
Yes, you're welcome. If you didn't know that already, which you probably did. If you're listening to a gaming podcast, I'm sure you would know by now, unless you don't. In which case, thank you for choosing us.
Yeah. Anyway, Toad sounds good. Luigi sounds really, really good. I mean, it's not the guy who does him, Charlie Day. He's not doing a great, like, it doesn't sound like Luigi like we were used to, but I think he conveys his personality very well. Like, yeah. Someone who's a little bit more hesitant to for adventure or someone who gets nervous easily. He does it very well.
Yeah.
But over the trailer, I like the new the designs. I didn't notice until seeing more of the renders. They gave Mario and Luigi like shirt collars, which I just after seeing old Mario renditions, I was like, what? He does not have a shirt collar.
Well, Mario's gonna pop his collar in the final scene of the movie.
He just yeah, they have open shirt collars, which I think is a really cool subtle change. Differentiation. Differentiation.
Oh, well, so he does. Oh.
Yeah.
I guarantee, like, he's going to fight Bowser, he's going to beat him, yeah, and it's going to, like, look away from him, explosions behind him, walk towards the camera, pop his collar, then do some snappy one-liner.
Oh, that'll be, like, some... They usually do that for, like the sub-boss, like, Mario... What's that big, Mario... Like, a big Mario boss in, like, Super Mario 3D Land?
They do Bowser Jr. a few times.
Oh, yeah. Well, if he's fighting Bowser Jr., he'll do that, like... kills a child.
Kills explosions a child. Behind. Now, explosions behind him. Walk away from the camera. Pop his collar. Look dead into the camera. Say, "Let's a go," and then just keep walking. Mm. If that doesn't happen, I'm going to be highly disappointed. That'll make the film for me. If he does that, Chris Pratt, you're forgiven.
Yeah.
You do that, we're grand. Can we change the script now? Is it too late? Is the film done? When's it coming out?
April of next year.
All right, Chris, there's enough time, Chris. It's not too late. Change the script. Do that for me, please.
I don't buy that, like, when he says, like, oh, I spent hours of my life stomping Koopas and I'm a bit of gamer since I was a kid. Like, Mario's so popular. Like, he's like Mickey Mouse, of course, yeah. Where he's like, he's so popular that he can't really be special to anybody.
Yeah.
Like, he's so mainstream. It's like everyone on the, like, everyone who's played a video game knows who Mario is, and they've had an experience growing up, so nothing too special.
Yeah, like, having Mario as your favorite, like, game character is like having, I was going to say having vanilla ice cream as your favorite flavor, but that's actually quite nice. I'm trying to see, what's generic as all hell here? Can you think of any generic scenarios here? I'm struggling.
Well, like I said, Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, Mickey Mouse, yeah.
Or... I spent hours of my life driving cars.
Right.
but yeah, I'm not looking forward to Seth Rogen's Donkey Kong. I don't like him.
I forgot he was doing that, to be honest.
I don't like him personally, as a person.
What do you do to you?
I don't like his he's got some weird takes on Twitter. Like, one time Casey Neistat was complaining about getting his car mugged, and it's like Seth Rogen's like, that's normal. I'd say that's a good thing. Like, I was trying to justify getting your car robbed.
Sounds about right for Seth Rogen, if I'm honest. You know, I respect him for that. Out of spite of you, I will respect that decision.
All right, fair enough. But I do like the Donkey Kong redesign. It's very cool.
Oh yeah, it looks good. Yeah, I imagine they're going to do a whole redo with the original game Donkey Kong and Mario were based in. The one he's throwing the barrels down at him. They're going to do some shtick with that, I guarantee.
Definitely.
Well, I think that was in the trailer, wasn't it? Or something similar to that effect.
It was like a Super Smash Bros. Style fight.
Yeah. So I imagine they'll do something as a little reference. It's going to be full of references, this one.
Yes. They even do the Mario Kart bit at the end.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the bit where I prefer the French version. Because if you heard the French Yahoo to the English one,
it's like it's night and day.
No, like, the English one is just Chris Pratt saying Yahoo, but the French one, the guy, he's giving it a go. He's giving it a great crack shot, like, and he's done a great job.
I've heard. I had a look at the Japanese dub.
Oh my
God.
That one
pretty. It's because it's got some pretty big names playing the characters. Like, Mario is played by a guy called Mamoru Miyano, who does a lot of edgy boys in his career, like
never
Yagami.
Say that ever again, please.
That's all right. Well, that's the best name to come with. Like, for example, his most famous role is Light Yagami from Death Note.
Right.
So the guy who voices Light Yagami is doing Mario. The guy who does Toad is like, and been in other animes like Jujutsu Kaisen, played the big panda. I'm not going to go on too much about
Where
this.
Where are they getting these people?
Well, they auditioned and they approved of them and they thought they sound good, which I... Yeah.
Wouldn't have thought, like, Yagami would be Mario.
Yeah, that's...
It's an interesting casting choice.
That's a bizarre casting choice. Utterly insane.
He's going to laugh and we're just going to be like, that guy's going to write someone's name in a notebook in 10 minutes. Like, that's going to be what I'm thinking if he just bursts out laughing.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm trying to remember the last Illumination film I saw, like, in general, like, all the way through.
New Minions.
I've not seen the New Minions.
How have you not seen the New Minions? Even I've seen the New Minions, and I don't watch movies.
Because I've had a personal hatred for the Minions for a long time.
And so have I, but that hasn't stopped me.
Yeah, but now everyone's starting to love the Minions now.
They're coming back.
They're back, and they're purple.
That was the second one. I didn't watch that one. I refused to watch that one.
I watched a little bit. I didn't finish it, I don't think, but I got the gist of it. I think it would be... I can't think of the last... I mean, I've seen the first Despicable Me. That's like the first one. I've watched that a few times.
Yeah.
That's one I like. But yeah. Also, the Mario movie's now in this, what I like to call the promotional phase, where they start advertising it. You'll see, like, ads and spots
Yeah.
and stuff, which It's always an exciting time when it gets into the advertising phase.
You know, as a PR student and like marketing in general, I do digital marketing, public relations. I can respect, I acknowledge what they're doing and I respect it because I'm going to have to do this job when I get out of college. So like what they're doing, like I like how they're doing it. They're doing it well for the most part. So good execution. Hopefully it'll do good and release day. I imagine it will.
Oh,
like,
well.
It's the most generic, like I'm not going to say superhero film, most game film ever, I suppose.
It's the most child film ever. It's going to definitely do good for the kid audience.
Yeah, and well, like the adult, like the adult population as well, like the people who grew up with Mario, they're going to be going to watch it with their kids. Like, it should do really well for them.
Yeah.
Who's making the money from this?
Who's making the money?
Yeah, they which, like, I know Nintendo are getting the licensing fees and all that for the use of Mario, but like, which production company is this? It's Illumination.
It's Illumination's animations making the film. It's sort of a. It's always been presented as Nintendo plus Illumination, so it's like a collaboration event. So they're going to share the profits. Comcast owns a Illumination, so they're going to get a cut.
All right, so what do you reckon Nintendo's going to use their cut for?
The theme park they got going on.
Oh, yeah. They're
put money into that.
You want to know what the Illumination are going to use theirs for?
The Super Mario Bros. Movie 2?
No, better.
Better?
Despicable Me 4, let's go.
Oh, yeah. Because that's going to be their focus after the Mario movies all, you know, finished up.
Oh, it will be, yeah.
Like how when I was thinking Minions 2 was finally in theaters, I was like, oh, now they can finally focus on the Mario Bros. Movie.
Despicable Me 2, you mean the
Minions 2, yes.
Love, we're a gaming podcast, but we're talking about Despicable Me and Minions. This is great. We have great production value.
Shout out to all the Minion Run players out there.
No.
That's a game.
It is a game. Oh, well, yeah, I guess. This, we're still on brand. So anything else, just to slap in at the end? We've been running for 42 minutes. We've been here ages.
Oh, my. Let's go with any upcoming games you're looking forward to. Do a little quick round here.
See the new Star Wars Jedi.
Jedi Survivor, very recently at the time.
Yeah.
Steam pretty much leaked the release date. And so the PR team, the devs were like, we might as well. So they unveiled the release date and the promotional, the first look. And Cal's really grown up. It's like this game is like 5 years after Fallen Order.
And he's still alive.
He's still alive.
Darth Vader hasn't killed him yet.
Nope.
How has he let that one slide?
Because it's a big, big galaxy out there. But yeah, he's gone. He's grown up. He looks drastically different. So Cameron Monaghan doesn't have to play like a teen anymore.
God forbid.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to the game, but there's going to be a lot more information to come out for it, like a trailer. They've already revealed like DLC for the game. Which is just like different outfits. It looks like you have a blaster now.
Oh.
So there's some blaster combat, which, yeah, something the game definitely missed out. So it'll probably turn out like Bloodborne.
Oh, God, not Bloodborne. Why? It's always Bloodborne or Dark Souls. It's always one of them. I mean, it was Dark Souls anyway, but like now it's even further.
Fallen Order is a lot like a Dark Souls inspired game, more like, I guess, Sekiro.
Yeah.
Due to its combat and. Fighting style. When Bloodborne, you had just a gun you could shoot.
Classic Bloodborne.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Ben, you're looking forward to
the Dead Space remake.
Oh, I know a few people would be happy about that one.
Yeah, I've not played the original games. I want to, and I think this will be a good. I'll get the Callisto Protocol very soon, hopefully.
Yeah.
Which is it's like what I call like it's one of those games that build off the legacy of another game,
yeah,
like Dead Space. But yeah, it's a full-on remake as well, like Unreal Engine 5, like everything is redone. The main character, one of the big differences in the first game, in the original, he was like a mute. He didn't speak at all. But no, in this game, he's fully voiced and everything. And they got his original actor from Dead Space 2 and 3.
Yeah.
which is pretty awesome.
You haven't played the originals, no?
I've not. I was too young to play it.
Oh, mate, how are you too young to play? I played them, and I'm younger than you. How have I done that?
That is embarrassing. Yeah. I didn't have a console back then. The only experience I have was just watching my brother play Dead Space 2.
You're right, that is embarrassing.
Yeah. But I'm very excited for it. It's coming out January, I think. Yeah, it is.
2023. Well, I was going to say for Christmas, but you know, January's after December. Kids, with your Christmas money, if you aren't scared of aliens or anything along that line, get the Dead Space remake. It'll totally be worth your while and totally won't make you cry.
No. I just realized both of these games, Fallen Order and like Dead Space, they are related to EA.
Oh, no.
And there's a lot. I feel like EA's done a little better for themselves over the past few years.
Well, they let Battlefront die.
Yeah.
Again.
That sucks.
Yeah, that was the biggest tragedy. No, I'm going to start myself before I say it on that one. It's a great tragedy. It's a great tragedy.
But also, there's a ton of games like Tears of the Kingdom. Resident Evil 4 is probably my most anticipated game.
Yeah.
What else is there? That's about it for now.
Yeah.
That's all I can think of, unless pull up my handy-dandy
list.
Anything you're excited for?
Well, this is already a game that's out, but it's come to Game Pass. Yeah, the new Lego Star Wars.
Skywalker Saga,
yeah. It's coming to Xbox Game Pass in the next month or so, I reckon. They posted it on their Instagram, like, it's all coming soon, but that could mean next week, that could mean next month. So when that comes out, I know what I'll be playing for a while. I was going to buy it on sale, but then that came out, and I was like, oh, that saved me £30. Love that. Thanks, Xbox.
Nice.
Yeah.
I found one more. Amnesia the Bunker.
Is it New Amnesia or is it a remake?
A New Amnesia. Yeah, this time it's set in World War II. You have a gun, which is new for Dead Space game. Amnesia game.
I was about to say Dead Space, they are very used to guns.
Yeah. Well, in Dead Space, they don't even use guns, they're like tools.
Tomato.
Yeah. I could go in, but I'm just excited. I might go into the Amnesia games in another podcast, because I could go on and on about the games I've played about that are made by the Amnesia devs.
Yeah.
Right. So what do you say? Should we wrap it up now?
May as well, Dara, if you'd like to take it away, seeing as you're so good at this.
Of course. Thank you for checking out the Aim of the Game podcast. We'll be sure to be back with more podcasts about gaming news, gaming events, drama, our thoughts on games, upcoming games, anything relating to video games. Stay tuned.
Bye-bye, and see you next time.
Bye-bye.